So today, well, first, for those of you who don't know me, I know most of you. My name is Zenon. I'm from the United States. I've been here for the last year and a half in Austria teaching English and coming to Crossroads Church, First Grace, and B1. It's my second time preaching, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share something with you today. I'd like to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So this is something that This is something that we hear a lot about as Christians. I'm sure we've all seen this list. We've heard it. Many of us have memorized it. If we can get the... Yeah, there we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Often we hear it said so quickly that we don't actually think about what's in that. But we're told that this is the fruit of the Spirit, right? This is what the Bible tells us. But sometimes it seems like these aren't very present in our lives, right? I know I've had times where it's very hard to find joy, where it's very hard to find peace. And that might be confusing because we're told that as believers, we all have the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? When we come to know Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So why don't we always see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? That's kind of what I want to look at today. So first, a bit of background on the text. If you want to open your Bibles, we'll be in Galatians chapter 5. So the background here is that Paul is writing to the Galatians to try to pull them away from a false gospel that people have come and are teaching among them. The Galatians are being taught that you need faith in Christ, but you also need to do certain things from the law of Abraham, the law of Moses, in order to be saved. That faith on its own will not save you, that Christ's blood is not the only sacrifice you need, that you also need to justify yourself by doing works of the law. And Paul rejects this. He says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery." So Paul says to them, don't go back under the law. Don't try to justify yourself by the things you do. Don't try to make yourself right with God because Christ has set us free. And so now that he's talked about this, he moves on to apply it to the lives of the Galatian Christians. And I think we can take this application and apply it to our own lives as well. So let's read. We're in chapter 5, starting in verse 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these things are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit." So Paul starts out telling the Galatians to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. So when Paul talks about the spirit, about the flesh, rather, he's not talking about the fact that we're stuck in bodies right now and that we're not in heaven yet. He's talking about the fact that we sin. He's talking about this that we've inherited from Adam, from people before us, that all of us do, that we all sin. When he talks about the Spirit, he's talking about the Holy Spirit that fills all of us when we know Christ. And so he says, when we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh doesn't get what it wants when we walk by the Spirit. When we turn ourselves toward God, we turn away from sin. And he talks about this more in Romans, where he says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. So Paul says that as a believer, he knows that he wants to do right. He wants to do as the Lord has commanded, right? He wants to love his neighbor. He wants to love God. But we still have these sinful desires that live in us. We still have the desire to do evil. And those desires don't line up. They oppose each other. And Jesus said when he was... Jesus said that no one can serve two masters. And there's no way that we can serve both what the flesh wants and what the Spirit wants. So we have to ask ourselves in our own lives, where do we see the desires of our flesh taking over our lives? Where do we see ourselves walking in the way that our sinful nature leads us to? Where do we see ourselves serving ourselves instead of God? Where do we see ourselves serving ourselves instead of others? Because when we do that, we can't live in the way that God wants us to. We can't love others when we're focusing on ourselves, obviously. We can't follow God when we're focused on serving our own desires. And so Paul goes on to say, he says, but if you are under the Spirit, or if you are led by the Spirit, rather, you are not under the law. And so this freedom that Christ brings, we only experience this freedom when we're led by the Spirit. So when we in our lives try to come closer to God, when we spend time with the church, when we pray, when we spend time in the Bible, when we do these things, when we follow what the Word tells us to do, we turn away from the law. We turn away from the idea that we become good by the things that we do for ourselves. And this is very important. This is at the core of the gospel. Paul says, so my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you could be joined to one another, to the one who was raised from the dead, to bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful desires aroused by the law were active in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. So when we're saved, when we come to know Christ, we die to the law, Paul says. Right? We give up the idea that we can try to earn righteousness, that we can be good on our own, that we can become right with God by what we do. And instead, we're separated from that. So God separates us from this idea that we need to do good for ourselves and instead connects us to Christ. And in Christ, we have freedom. Because when we step away from this idea that we need to work really hard to try to be good, to try to earn our salvation, to try to follow God on our own by our own power, it doesn't work. Right? Like Paul said, he can't do what he wants to do because his sinful desires keep him back. Right? We want to do sin and that keeps us back. So we're removed from the law, we're connected to Christ. And when we're connected to the one who was raised from the dead, we bear fruit to God. We can bear good things in our lives when we're connected to Christ instead of to the law. So Paul goes on, he talks about the works of the flesh. And this is interesting because I think we've all heard about the fruit of the Spirit time and time again, over and over again, right? This is a familiar concept.
What we don't spend as much time on is looking at the other list that accompanies this one in Galatians. Right? So before Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about the work of the flesh. Because in our lives, we need to look at the works of the flesh. We need to look at our own sin before we can bear the fruits of the Spirit. So before we can have these great things in our lives that God promises us, we need to repent, and that's important. Paul says earlier, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. And so why does Paul present this list of works of the flesh right before fruits of the Spirit? It's because when we look at what God tells us is wrong, we can see what we do wrong in our own lives. We can see the ways in which we fall short of God. We can find the things that we need to turn away from if we're to walk by the Spirit. Right? Because we're called to walk by the Spirit as Christians. So to take a look at the works of the flesh, Paul says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They're clear. You see them. They're not hard to figure out if you see that they're there. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. So when we try to seek the good things that God has created us for outside of the context in which God created us to experience them, right? When we say, God, I'm not going to follow the path that you've set forward for me. I'm not going to live in the way that you call me to live. Instead, I'm going to do what I enjoy. I'm going to seek out all kinds of pleasures outside of how you've called me to enjoy them. We engage in impurity. When we don't have any kind of restraint, when we say, when we don't hold ourselves back, that's what Paul is talking about here with sensuality, that we don't have the ability to know when enough is enough. When Paul talks about idolatry, this is when we put other things before God. When we have other priorities in our lives that come before serving God, that come before honoring him, that's something we need to look for. Sorcery is an interesting one. You might look at that and think we don't have anything like that in our world today. But I've had a number of friends of mine tell me that, well, they see I'm very religious, but don't I know that the only way I can know God is through drugs? Because drugs open your mind, and then you can really understand what the world is like. That is what was going on in Paul's time as well, right? So the word here that translates to sorcery is pharmakia. You may recognize English words pharmacy, pharmacist. So when people try to seek knowledge of God, when people try to connect with God through drugs that slow your mind, that control your mind, that's what Paul's talking about here, right? We need to seek God in the ways that he has told us to seek him, in the ways that we know we can seek him, and not in the ways that the world tells us we can seek him. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. Enmity, so hatred. Do we have other people that we don't love, that we don't treat with kindness, that we don't look at the way that God looks at us? We need to be able to look at each other as children of God and treat each other the way that God calls us to treat each other. Fits of anger, we need to avoid when we lose control of ourselves, because bursting out in anger is not the way that God calls us to relate to one another. People talk about righteous anger, but that is gentle, that is loving, that is not outbursts that jump out at you, that jump out at others. Paul also talks about things here that happen in the church, and some of these we've talked about in the past few months in the sermons, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, these happen when people split the church apart, when people split people from each other. We don't need rivalries. We don't need to be competing with one another. Instead, we should be working together. We don't need dissensions, unnecessary disagreement when there's no need to be causing big fights over little issues. Divisions. Another way of translating this is factions, groups of people set against each other. Right? If in the church we ever find ourselves where we feel like, okay, this is my group of people in the church, and those people are not my people in the church. Those belong to another group, and this group is mine. That's dangerous. Because when we view some people as the people that we belong to and other people as people that we are different from or against in some way, that only divides the church. That doesn't bring us closer to God, and that's not the way that we're called to relate to one another. Drunkenness, orgies, again here we have this idea not only that we're looking for pleasure in places where we're not supposed to find it, but that we're bringing other people into this as well. Right? We're seeking out all kinds of sensual pleasures and also bringing other people into it. And so these are the kinds of things that Paul talks about that we need to look for. Of course, every single sin you can think of is not on this list. Every single way that we can serve ourselves instead of God is not on here. And so Paul says, and things like these. Right? This is important too, because Paul isn't giving a new law. He isn't saying, here's a list of things you need to not do. And if you don't do these things, then you're in right standing with God. No, instead Paul says, here are examples of things you need to look for in yourself if you want to grow closer to God. So there's something I want to use to illustrate this. When Paul talks about the works of the flesh, we know that Scripture talks about real things, about the real world. And so sometimes, even in science, for example, we find things that actually reflect the truths of Scripture in places where you wouldn't expect it. Yeah? So one of the things I studied in university was neuroscience. And this here we actually find kind of an interesting fact that shows us something about how our flesh can lead us into doing things we don't want to do. So the way that this was taught to me is that scientists took a bunch of people and sat them down and put an EEG on their head, right? So they can measure brain waves, they can see what's happening in the brain. And then they told them, press a button. But notice and kind of remember the time when you decided to press the button. It's a very precise clock that goes to like fractions of a second. So these people were able to very accurately remember, when did I decide to press this button? And so that's the line that you see on there that says intention to act is when they decided I will press this button. Action performance is when they pressed the button. But the scientists noticed something. They noticed that the brain got ready to press the button before the person decided to press the button. Yeah, so this whole gap with the question marks, right? There's a full second where the brain is getting ready to send the signal to your body to press the button before you actually decided to press the button. And so what I was taught in university was that this means that we have no free will, that we don't control our actions, and that no one is responsible for what they do. Because you don't even know that you're choosing to do things until after you've chosen to do them. Right? This is what I was taught. But that's not quite the whole story. Right? That sounds like a very nice story. If I say I can't control myself, then if I do wrong, it's not my fault. Yeah? My body decided it just like my body decided for my heart to beat. I don't control that. But that's not the truth of the matter. The scientist who did this study, Dr. Benjamin Libe, he explained it a different way. He looked at this and he said that he found scientific proof for temptation. He found scientific proof that our flesh, our body, leads us to do things. That we have temptation, that our brain says, here, you can do this. But then we have this half-second gap where we can say no. Because between this decision to do it and actually doing it, when the scientists told people, okay, after you've decided, change your mind, they were able to stop that even though the brain had gotten ready to do it. So what does that mean? That means that we can see what Paul is talking about here. We can see that if we just go along with what our brains, what our bodies tell us to do, we don't control it. But what we can do is we can say, no, I will turn from this. I will not do what I'm tempted to do. And instead, I will live in the way that God wants me to live. And so what we see is that we can actually measure the ability to repent. We can see that we have a half second in between temptation and doing something where we can change our mind and we can turn to God instead of to our flesh. I think that's pretty encouraging. So, Paul gives a warning because when we don't repent, when we don't turn from our sin, instead we turn toward it and we get what the flesh deserves. Paul finishes out this works of the flesh by saying, I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's like Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish, he said to the Pharisees. That when we continue on in sin, when we don't look at ourselves and when we don't look at ourselves as a new creation, we won't inherit what God gives to those who follow him. Instead, we get what the world deserves, what our flesh deserves, what our sin deserves, which is death. So, that is not a very cheerful picture. But, as always, there's more. Paul goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So, but instead of the works of the flesh, God will give you the fruit of the Spirit when you turn away from your sin. Why wouldn't he use the phrase fruit of the Spirit? Why wouldn't he say works of the Spirit, for example? Right? He said works of the flesh, so why wouldn't he say works of the Spirit? Because it is the Spirit working, but he doesn't want us to get confused and think that it's us working. So when God brings us the fruit of the Spirit, that isn't something that he's telling us, I command you to love. He does command us to love, but that's not the point of this passage. What he's saying is that the Spirit in you will bring these things into your life. The Spirit will give you the ability to love. Because as we saw before, when we live in the flesh, we can only do the things of the flesh. When we live in sin, we can only do the things that our sin leads us to do. To do good, we need to live in the Spirit. So Paul said earlier in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a powerful passage. It's like we sang earlier, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Right? When I go forward and I do as God has called me to do, we pray is nothing but the cross. Because it's the power of Christ living in me. It's the power of the Spirit in me that enables me to do these things. And so a few verses after the fruits of the Spirit, Paul says, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So the world is dead to me, Paul says. I want nothing to do with the world of sin because I have crucified it on the cross with Christ. Christ has taken that away from me. He separated me from the law. He separated me from my flesh. And instead, what I will boast in, what I will be proud of, is the cross and what that works in me. So the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Here Paul talks about agape love, unconditional love, the kind of love we only have for one another when God leads us to do it, the kind of love that with which God loves us. And so we see his love for us and we try to live that out with each other. That is something that the Spirit enables us to do. We can't do it on our own. Joy. So when we still find a reason to rejoice, even in a situation that is not very happy, when our life doesn't seem to be giving us reasons to be happy, we still find them because the Spirit enables us to. We can have peace. We can have inner peace. We can be free from anxiety. And we can have peace with each other. Instead of all of this fighting and dissension and division that Paul talks about, we can have peace with each other through the Spirit who connects us. Patience. We can wait for good things. We can persist even when it's difficult. We can keep going. And in a larger scale, too, we have patience because we know that our ultimate reward won't come until after this life is through. And so the Spirit gives us patience to keep living this life in the way that God calls us to, even though it's hard. Kindness and goodness. We treat each other in a way that glorifies God. We don't treat each other with hatred or with meanness. Faithfulness. We can rely on each other. People can rely on us. We know that we can rely on God, and we stay faithful to what God has commanded us to do. Gentleness. When we do need to correct each other, we don't do that harshly. We do that in a way that helps one another. It doesn't break each other down. And self-control. So we know when enough is enough. We can stay away from the things that God wants us to stay away from. The Spirit gives us the ability to control ourselves, to hold back from sin when our flesh, when our sin nature tells us that we should go forward and do something for ourselves. We can control ourselves. We can hold ourselves back by the Spirit and only by the Spirit. And Paul says, against such things there is no law. So even the law, with its 613 ways that we can fall short of the glory of God, can find nothing wrong with these. When we live by the Spirit, we live by this. We don't live by condemnation. And so we're free. So then Paul actually talks about, okay, here are the fruits of the Spirit. Now where do we see the fruit of the Spirit? We see it in those who belong to Christ Jesus. We see it in Christians and those who have the Holy Spirit living in them. And those people have crucified the flesh, right? So we've repented of our sin. We've looked at ourselves and we continue to look at ourselves and see what are we doing that is holding us away from God. What are we doing that we can remove from our lives to be closer to God with its passions and desires? If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So these fruits of the Spirit, they come when we crucify our flesh, when we stay away from what God calls us not to do, and when we go toward God, when we follow the Spirit. The Spirit leads us and we follow. And by that, we grow closer to God, and he can work more of his good things in our lives. So, when you walk by the Spirit, when you grow closer to God, when you orient your life toward that, and you repent of the works of the flesh, you keep looking at yourself and saying, what is keeping me back from God? What is keeping me away from Him? Then God creates in you the fruit of the Spirit. So if you look at your life and you need more love, if you need peace, if you have a hard time being gentle to others, then we know what to do. It's not easy, but we know what it is. We know to look at ourselves, to look at what we do, to take away the things, to resist the desires that hold us back, and to grow closer to God. So, as you all know, I'm a teacher, and teachers like to give practical application exercises that we can do in a few minutes here. So, if you'd like to help me out, here's some paper. Yeah, paper for each person and pen. I'd like us to take a minute and make a plan for the week, right? Because even if I had given the perfect sermon with the most eloquent delivery you'd ever heard, it might still be difficult for us to go forward and do these things in our daily lives. Okay, yeah, sure. And so what I'd like us to do is sit down and put on paper. Here you go. Yeah, thanks. A plan for how we can apply these things in our lives. Yeah, you will need your Bible for this because I can't fit everything on the screen. But what I'd like us to look at is, can we think of a way that we can walk more with the Spirit? Can we think of a way that we can turn away from our sin? Can we think of a way that we can pray for the Spirit to fill us with more of His fruit? Thanks. And then can we make a plan of when each day this week we can sit down with God and we can pray that He would do this in our lives? So that's what I'd like us to do. We'll take a few minutes for this, and then I'll pray and close us off, and we'll move forward. Thank you.